All right, we're going to read or hear a story today about a question that someone had for the Lord, for Jesus. And their question was, who is my neighbor? Now, who can tell me what a neighbor is? What's a neighbor? Yeah, someone who lives next to you, right? If you live in your house and there's someone who lives in the house next door, they're your neighbor. What about someone who lives across the street? Do you think they're your neighbor? They're kind of your neighbor. What about someone who lives in a different town? Are they your neighbor? No, it doesn't seem like it, not in this sense. But the Lord says, you should love your neighbor as yourself. And he's not just talking about the people who live next door. So someone asked the Lord, who is my neighbor? What do you mean, love your neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And they stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and left him half dead. So that man who was traveling, he was left by the side of the road. He was not in good condition. He was in a really bad way. And while he was there, a priest came down the road. And when that priest saw the man lying there, he passed by on the other side. And then a Levite also came. It's a different kind of person. A Levite is someone who helps the priests. When he arrived at the place, came and looked, he passed by on the other side as well. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to the man who was lying on the side of the road, and he helped him. He bandaged his wound. He poured oil and wine on the wounds. He put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So we have these 3 people. I'm going to put these up on the board so we can think about them. We have a priest. We have a Levite, and we have a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans kind of looked down on. People didn't like the Samaritans so much, but the priests had lots of honor. The priests were very respected. And the Lord asks, which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor? Was it the priest? No, it wasn't the priest. Was it the Levite?
No,
also not that. Was it the Samaritan? Yes, the Samaritan was the neighbor. And it wasn't because the Samaritan lived next door. It wasn't because the Samaritan looked like or sounded like or dressed like the man or was similar to him. It wasn't even because the Samaritan lived in the same town as him. The Samaritan was the neighbor because he showed love and compassion. And that's what makes someone your neighbor. They show love and compassion. Now, you might think, okay, I'm going to love everyone in the world who shows love and compassion and is kind, and I'm not going to love the people who are unkind. But that's not what the Lord wants us to do. What the Lord wants us to do is not just love the people who are kind and good, but to also love the goodness in other people. So if you have a classmate who annoys you, there's still something good about them that you can love. If you have a brother or sister who's being really grumpy, there's still something about them that you can love. And we can always find those good things in people to love. So when the Lord says, love your neighbor, what he means is love goodness and compassion and kindness and make those the things that you look for in other people. Amen. So our question for today really is, how do you love someone? That's kind of what's behind this question of who is my neighbor. How do you love people? Now, in many ways, the answer to that question is very simple. You love someone by being kind to them, treating them with respect, by doing the things they want, by forgiving them when they've made mistakes, by being compassionate towards them. But there are times, you might even find there are certain people for whom it is really hard to answer that question, how do I love this person in this moment? How do you love someone who has very different wants and very different needs from your own? How do you love someone who has very different values that conflict with your own values? How do you love someone that you cannot stand? How do you love someone when they're being cruel? How do you love someone when they're doing things that are evil? I want to think of a few examples. Think of a coworker who constantly has something negative to say. How do you love that coworker? Think of a boss who is completely unreasonable and even incompetent at their job, and you know better than them. How do you love that person? Think of the acquaintance who has no problem gossiping and spreads rumors, and they don't keep confidence ever. How do you love that person? Think of the person who doesn't realize just how irritating they are and can't take a hint. How do you love that person? Now, this is a hard one. What about the people who hurt the ones you love or you? Think of the ones who, if you were to love them, it kind of feels like you're justifying or excusing things that they're doing that aren't just irritating or annoying, but like they're really hurting someone. How do you love that person? Now we might say, well, maybe we shouldn't love that person. Maybe someone who's really doing evil things, we shouldn't love them. But the Lord says, love even your enemies. So how do we love people that we disapprove of, that we don't get along with, that cause a lot of pain? How do we love someone we'd probably rather just punch in the face and be done with it? How do we love that person? We're actually going to not start with loving other people because this, interestingly enough, the path towards loving other people does not start with loving other people necessarily. We're going to start with the Lord. We're going to start by looking at this story that we read in the children's talk, but the passages that came right before it. A lawyer asked the Lord, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Now, at first blush, that question doesn't seem to have anything to do with loving other people. It's really a theological question, an abstract question. But we could rephrase that question as, what should I do to get to heaven? And we know that to get into heaven, we need to live heavenly lives. And to lead a heavenly life, we need to be loving and kind and following the Lord's teachings. Because that's what heaven is all about. So asking the question, what should I do to inherit eternal life, inherently has within it, what do I need to do to be able to love people? And this is where the Lord does not point to other people first. He points to something else. The lawyer responds, well, he asks the lawyer, what do you think? And he affirms his answer. And he shares two quotes that sum up how to be a good heavenly person. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus confirms that these are the two great commandments, that they are at the heart of everything the Word teaches us. Everything the Word says comes down to these two commandments. Loving the Lord, loving your neighbor. But notice that these two commandments are not phrased the same way. It doesn't say, love the Lord and love the neighbor. It doesn't say, love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor with all your heart and your soul and your mind. There's actually a bit of a difference here between these two things. The emphasis is on love the Lord with everything you've got. And then actually loving the neighbor almost sounds like an afterthought. And also love your neighbor as yourself. Now, most of the time, that's not going to be how it works. Loving your neighbor is an afterthought. But when we are having a hard time loving someone, you are really struggling to love this person in front of you who's irritating, annoying, or even doing something cruel or evil, this focus can be a really big help. Because we can't always find a way of just loving this person in front of us. But we can always find ways of loving the Lord. And part of loving the Lord means respecting what he says, following his teachings, keeping his commandments. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So even if I don't have it within my heart to actually feel like I love this person in front of me, I can always love the Lord, and that means I'm going to keep his teachings and I'm going to treat this person according to the Lord's teachings because I love the Lord. The Lord says I have to treat this person kindly. Even when we cannot love that person, we can still love the person who does love them, right? Because the Lord loves that person. Doesn't matter who they are. The Lord's going to keep loving that person, and he's given us instructions to follow. So even if I don't feel love in my heart for this person, I can still say, but I do love the Lord, so I'm going to keep his teachings, and I'm going to treat this person who I don't very much like, I'm going to treat them the way the Lord wants me to. That's a really useful way of loving your neighbor. It can be kind of shallow sometimes. Maybe not where you want to go through life, just being annoyed with people, but by starting with love to the Lord, you actually can start loving your neighbor, at least in your behavior, in how you treat them. But we also do want to get to a point where we actually feel love for our neighbor. We don't want to just stay there and just go through the motions. It would be nice if we could feel love for our neighbor too. That is part of the Lord's command. It's not just an afterthought there, right? The Lord does say we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And people, unlike the Lord, well, actually maybe the Lord's like this too, but people are the ones who are difficult and confusing and get on our nerves and treat us poorly. Those are the ones we have a hard time figuring out how to love, right? So the lawyer, feeling this probably, that this is kind of a hard commandment, kind of confusing and kind of messy, asked the Lord, who is my neighbor? And when he asked that question, he's really asking, who should I love? And is there anyone I shouldn't love? Is there anyone I don't have to love? Because it's kind of hard to love some people. It would be nice if you could clarify, who are these people that you're telling me I'm supposed to love? And we have that question too. Should I support someone no matter what? Should I love someone no matter what? What if they're hurting other people? What if I just really don't like them? You know, who is my neighbor that I have to love? To help illustrate who the neighbor is, the Lord tells that story that we read in the children's talk of the man traveling down to Jericho, falls among thieves, and gets beaten up. And a priest comes along who, the man was a Jewish man, and it was a Jewish priest, but the priest just ignores the man on the side of the road. The Levite, he's sort of like a second-class priest. The Levites helped the priest, so he's a pretty important person in that culture. He also sees the man and walks on. The Samaritan comes by. Now, Samaritans, they basically had a feud with the Jews. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. They didn't like each other very much. But it was a Samaritan who stopped, had compassion on the man, took care of him, made sure that he was well, even spent his money to make sure he was taken care of into the future. Now, the whole point of that parable was to answer the question, who is my neighbor that I'm supposed to love? So the Lord concludes by asking, well, which of these three do you think is the neighbor? And the answer, of course, is the one who showed mercy, the Samaritan. That's the neighbor. Now, on hearing this story, I think most of us, our instinct is to think, oh, here's the Lord telling us how to be the neighbor, right? We're supposed to be like the Samaritan. And it is about that. The Lord says, go and do likewise. Be like the Samaritan. Be a good neighbor like that. But remember why the Lord told this story in the first place. He was not answering the question, how can I be a good neighbor? He was answering the question, who is my neighbor that I'm supposed to love? Who am I supposed to love? Are there people that I don't have to love? And the neighbor that we're supposed to love is the Samaritan. The kind of person we're supposed to love is the one who is compassionate and good. We shouldn't love the people who are just similar to us, who look the same, who have the same language, who have the same status, who are the same age. No. What defines the people we should love is, are they good, compassionate, respectful, kind people? And we could say, all right, that solves all of our problems. I'll love the people who are nice to me and not the ones who aren't. So I want to illustrate this with an image. We could divide the world up very easily into good people and bad people, right? And I'm just illustrating people with circles, and a black circle, that would represent a bad person, and we could say, okay, I don't have to love the bad people. Then the gold circles, that would represent a good person, and I love those people. And we tend to do this. We really do tend to fall into this mindset that says, I'll love the good people, and I won't love the bad people. And that's very easy, and it's very simple. But there's something deeper going on here, because life is not about dividing up people into good and bad categories. The teachings of the new church say that the Samaritan does not represent a type of person. The Samaritan represents a spiritual quality. So if we go to this next slide, this is really what it's about. The Samaritan represents the goodness and the compassion and the mercy that is in other people. And when the Lord says the Samaritan is your neighbor, he's not saying that kind of person is your neighbor. He's saying that quality in anyone is your neighbor that you should love. Now, if again, these dots represent people. People are a mix of good and bad, right? No one is completely good. No one is completely bad. So the Lord is calling us, no matter who the person is in front of you, no matter if they're a mostly good person with some flaws or a really bad person with just a little bit of goodness, the Lord calls us, love the goodness in them. Love the Samaritan-like qualities in that person. It does not work to look around and say, I'm going to divide the world into the people I love and the people I don't love. What we need to do is look at every individual and say, what is from the Lord in this person that I can love? And every single human being that you ever interact with has good qualities from the Lord in them. So when we're stuck with someone we don't like, we're getting really frustrated and it's hard to love them, we don't have to love the parts that we don't like. When we're with someone who is causing harm, we don't have to pretend we approve of that evil. We don't have to excuse them. What we do have to do is intentionally look for the good in that person. Find those qualities of compassion, of goodness, of mercy. And if you can't find any, because sometimes you can't, sometimes it really is hard. Sometimes you look at someone and it's just all you see is unkindness or cruelty or selfishness. Even if you can't find it yourself, that doesn't mean it isn't there. And so we can just have that little acknowledgement of saying to ourselves, I know there's something good and worth loving in this person. I just can't see it right now. But I know it's there, and I love that about this person. And I wish I could see it. I'm just not in a place where I can see it right now. So in answering the question about how to inherit eternal life, how to be a good person, how to be a heavenly person, we start by looking to the Lord. I'm going to love the Lord first above all things. How can everything I do and say reflect the Lord, regardless of how I feel about this person in front of me? And then we can love our neighbor, no matter who they are, by trying to see something from the Lord in them and focusing on that and looking for that. Find the Samaritan in them, that Samaritan-like quality within them. And those two ideas, actually, although they seem separate, are one and the same. Because loving the Lord and loving the neighbor are not two separate concepts. They're actually the same thing. There's a passage in the book, Secrets of Heaven, part of the teachings of the new church, that talks about the connection between loving the Lord and loving people around us. And it actually says, loving people is loving the Lord in them. They are one in the same. So I'll read the passage. I'll just put an excerpt from it up on the screen, but I'll read the whole passage. It says, the different kinds of neighbor, which a member of the church ought to be thoroughly acquainted with if he is to know the true nature of charity, are determined by the goodness present in each individual. And since all goodness comes from the Lord is in the highest sense and most prominent degree the neighbor and origin of the neighbor. From this it follows that a person is the neighbor in the measure that the Lord resides with him. And since nobody receives the Lord, that is the goodness which comes from him, in the same way as another, no one person is there for the neighbor in the same way as another. For all, without exception, in heaven, and all, without exception, on earth, differ from one another in goodness. Goodness is never exactly one and the same with any two people. Variation is essential in order that any kind of goodness may continue to exist by itself. So this passage is saying when you look for good in someone, and you see something good about them, and you love that good thing in them, what you're really doing is loving the Lord's presence with that person. And no matter how different they are from us, no matter how differently they worship God, no matter how differently they believe about God, there is still goodness from the Lord in them that we can love. Now, sometimes the way people relate to the Lord is so different that we have a hard time seeing it. But the important thing is that we at least try. Because if we see the good in them, we're going to see the Lord in them. And it's actually a privilege to be able to see a new perspective on the Lord in other people. Because our own view of the Lord is limited. No matter how good it is, no matter how much we've studied it, no matter how much we've developed it, our understanding or view of the Lord is limited. So when we see good in a person who is completely different from us, we look at this person who we don't understand them, we don't get them, we don't even like them necessarily, but we can still see something good, we're getting a glimpse of the Lord that we could not see from our own point of view. So we actually get to see a more broad, full picture of the Lord because everyone is different and everyone receives the Lord differently. So let's go back to that Samaritan. He could not be sure that the Jewish man would want his help. He had other concerns. He did not know exactly what it would take to heal the man, right? He wasn't a doctor, but he tried. He tried his best. And I want to go back to that passage that I just read and read the end of it, because it gives us some comfort in the fact that we can never actually know people fully. You can never actually know the goodness from someone fully and completely. But you don't need to. Just look for that little bit that you can see. This passage says, "No one, not even an angel, can know all those variations of goodness, thus all the distinctions of the neighbor that are determined by the way the Lord is received, that is, the goodness coming from him. One can only know them in an overall way, that is, know the general kinds of variation and some of the specific kinds of these. Nor does the Lord demand anything more of a member of the church than that he should lead a life in keeping with what he knows." We will never know exactly what good a person is doing. We will never actually really fully know what makes a person a good person. Where's that goodness from the Lord in that person? You know, much of the goodness that we do goes by unnoticed in thousands of little ways. But we should not let that hold us back from searching for the good in other people. You know, how often do we pass by on the other side of the road and write someone off because we can't see the good in them? And so we decide, well, I can't help them. I don't see anything good in them. Our job, the only thing the Lord asks of us, is to reach out to the good in them that we can see. And it might be uncomfortable. It might be hard. We will make mistakes and think we're doing something helpful when in fact we're doing something hurtful. But at least we tried. And that is far more helpful than playing it small, walking on by without a second glance, saying, well, I don't see any good in that person, so I'm just going to ignore them. So again, we come back to that first question we started with. Who is my neighbor? And my neighbor is the Lord. No matter what irritations and frustrations and dislikes and even evils are present in the people around me, the Lord is present too. So when you find it hard to love someone, pause and remember the Lord. Look for the Lord's presence. And then act on that to the best of your abilities. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to see everything. But try to love the Lord, and then try to love the Lord in that person. If you just make that attempt, you will be keeping the command, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Amen.